here.
We're on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, and we're studying the sugya of Ula, and specifically what is the source of Ula's halacha, that if there's an overlap between Mammon and Malkus, then we give Mammon, and we exempt you from Malkus. And the Gemara doesn't come to any specific conclusion about the issue of whether or not we should view Mammon is more chamur than Malkus, which was again counterintuitive, or should we assume that even Ula would agree that Malkus is more chamur than Mammon? And the reason why we give Mammon and not Malkus is because the two precedents in the Torah, that's Chovel and Edim Zomin, in both cases the Torah says you meet out the Mammon part and you alleviate him of the Malkus. The Gemara thought that maybe we could put these two together, Chovel and Edim Zomen, create a kind of Tzad HaShoveh, but the Gemara rejects that because of what's called Tzad Chamur, or alternatively Tzad Kal. And at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to have to, on the top of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, come up with a new alternative explanation for what is the source of Ula. And especially in light of the fact that Ula's halacha may be counterintuitive, because we would assume that corporeal punishment, Malkus, is more chamur than Mammon. And therefore he should be getting Malkus and not Mammon. Why is he getting Mammon and not Malkus? And out of almost sheer desperation, the Gemara is going to introduce what we call a gzeirah shavah. And a gzeirah shavah is not logical. A gzeirah shavah is based on, shall we call it, a gzeirah sakosah. You know, it's almost as if the Torah wrote that in the case of an overlap, we're going to give Mammon and not Malkus. So that's the top of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, and that's where we're going to start in Ritz Hashem today. And by the way, Chaim, I just want to tell you that I found that recording.
Good.
Omar Ula. Ela Ula Tachas Tachas Gomar. So he has a Gzeirah Shavah called Tachas Tachas. Ksiv Hocha. Here in Parashas Ki Teitzeh, in the Parash of Onus, it says, V'lo Siyo Li'isha Tachas Asher Ina. Then it says, L'yuchal Shalcha Kol Yomov. So it says, Tachas Asher Ina. And that's in the parasha of Onus. Now, Onus, from this perspective, is sort of general, meaning this is not a case where the Torah told us specifically that he doesn't get Malkus. It could be that the Torah says that he pays the knas of Onus Umefata and all the other payments that he has to pay because there was no asrafa Malkus. How do we know that even if there was asrafa Malkus, he would get Mammon, he would pay the knas, etc., but not get Malkus? And that's going to be based on this Gzeirah Shavah Ksiv Hosom, because in the parasha of Chovel B'Chaveiro, the Torah writes Ayin Tachas Ayin. Again, that key word Tachas. Ma Hosom, just like there in the case of Chovel Mamonim Shalim Milkel Olaki, meaning even if there was a Hasra for the Lav, the violation of Pen Yosef, which if you recall, that's the violation of the Lav in the case of Chovel B'Chaveiro, nevertheless, the Torah says, Mamona Mishalim. The Torah says, Verapo Yerape, Shifto Shifto, etc., etc., all the payments that the Torah delineates. And now Chovel becomes the paradigm for all other cases of an overlap of Mammon and Malkus, that you pay the Mammon and you don't get the Malkus. Even though, again, if we only had Chovel without a Gzeirah Shavah, we would not be able to use Chovel as the source, because Chovel has a Chumrah in that the Torah imposes five categories of Tashlumin. Chovel, on the other hand, has a Kula in that the Huta Mechlolo Eitzel Bezdin. But now that we have the Gzeirah Shavah, we have the word Tachas in the Parsha of Chovel B'Chaveiro. Chovel B'Chaveiro now becomes the paradigm case for all Mammon Malkus. Af kol hecha de'ika Mammon Malkus Mammon Mishalim Milka Lolaki. And we're going to impose the payment of Mammon, and we're going to alleviate him from the Chiyuv Malkus. And it seems from the Gemara that although Chovel in and of itself would not successfully serve as a binyan av because of the various points that we made that make you Chovel unique. That's only as far as binyan av is concerned. But once we substitute gzeirah shavah for binyan av, then we're going to have a derivation from Chovel.
But the end seems to be on the Shon of Binyan Av. Doesn't say Afkan.
I'll tell you why the Gemara is adding here the language of Mahasam Afkan and making it sound like a Binyan Av. Because you and I could have argued the following, and this would have been a very logical argument. If you have a Gzeirah Shavah, the Gzeirah Shavah is between A and B. In this case, between Chovel, where it says Tachas, and the case of Ones, which says Tachas. A and B. That doesn't give you the real kishkis, the real essence of what you want to get to. What you want to get to is all the other cases of an overlap of Momen and Malchus. You don't want to limit this halacha and derive it from Chovel specifically and restrict it to Ones and Mefati. You want it to make it into an absolutely universal principle. So that's why this Gzeirah Shavah has to go beyond a Gzeirah Shavah between A and B, and it has to expand to the level of a Binyan Av. Again, not a Binyan Av that's subject to Pircha, which would have been Chovel in and of itself, because now we have a Gzeirah Shavah, so the Gzeirah Shavah aspect, it nips it in the bud as far as Pircha. You know, you're saying that Chovel is different, and it's unique, and so forth. That we reject by virtue of the Gzeirah Shavah. But now the Gzeirah Shavah is able to give me a universal halacha that I can apply in any scenario where there's an overlap between Momen and Malchus, and that's why the Gemara's language is that of a Binyan Av.
I understand what the Gemara wants. I was just surprised that it was legal. Is this? Right. Are there other cases like this where we expand a Gezerah Shavah into
Binyan Av? That has to do with a sugya called Mufna Mishnei Tzadim. Again, I don't know if we can study that now.
We'll get
what I would recommend, mm-hmm. but now I don't have the possibility of doing so. Yeah. Is, are you familiar with a work called the Encyclopedia Talmudit?
Well, I've heard of it. Yeah, sure.
So we have it at home. I don't have it with me, but there's a long essay called Gzeirah Shavah. I think it's in volume 5 and volume 6. I don't remember which volume it's in, but in that essay, he touches on the rules and regulations that govern Gzeirah Shavah, mm-hmm. and how they work.
Okay.
Now, here in the footnote, he touches on it. He says, with regard to Gzeirah Shavah, Gam im yesh alev pircha, ein meshivin aleha. So there's no counter.
You can't attack it.
Right, exactly. You can't undermine it based on a pircha. So he says, "V'kan hamilim tachas hein mufnos l'gzeirah shavah l'meidim v'ein mishivin." There's no shlaga based on a pircha. Now, ula. I'm just reading you a few lines from the Masifta's footnote here. Ula lamad mi migzer shavazula chala Torah kula shebechol makum sheish chiyuv moment of malchus mishalim vein aloke. He says v'chein mevur berashi dibra maskil my taima. So if you look at the top of the Amud, one second, I'm not finding it right now.
Ulai afilu tema. That's the second Rashi.
Just one second. He says, "Zira Maskil, my timer." I think it's maybe on my timer. Okay. Right this second, I'm not finding it. In any event, there's a Rashi, "Zira Maskil." Oh, here it is. Towards the end of the Amud. So we're fast forwarding.
Oh yeah.
The Gomer Gzeres Shavli On Shom Momen V'Lo Malkus Lechol. You see those four words? Lechol Chayve Momen Umalkus. Now this appears in other Rishonim that from this Gzeirah Shavah we learn L'kol HaTorah Kula Kibinyan Av. Interesting. Shemeshalim V'Yena Loka. So that's fascinating. Again, I can't tell you how to fit this into the the rules and regulations of Gzeirah Shavah, but the bottom line is, Rashi says it explicitly, that Ula is not limited in his application of this din to the case of Onus u'Mefateh, but rather he applies it to Kol Mokom. Now, and this is a Tosus Dibur Maskil Ella, which you'll see, it's the first, you know, first official Tosus on the page. The main Tosus here starts out of an Aleph, and he presents a different thesis, according to which the Maskonis HaGemara Ula might be holding that a din kishiyesh kiyuv malchus umam mishalom vein aloku rak b'shlosha makomos. So the possibility arises that according to Shita Satosis, Ula only applies this principle of Mamon and Malchus in three cases, that you get Mamon and you don't get Malchus, and that's number one, Chovel, Edim Zomim, and now Ones. So that's based upon a different Girsa in Agamara. Agamara says Kol Hecha, if you see those two lines in Agamara. By Kol Hecha, that's about four lines down from the top. You'll notice in the Mesoras Hashas and Agos V'Tziyunim, there's a question whether you have those words Kol Hecha. Now, Ad Kan Hakofa Aleph, this is Ula. And we spent a good deal of time on Ula. At this point, we are making a transition to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to claim that as a general rule, we give a Malkus and not Mama. And that rule applies even to the case of Onus u'Mefateh. The only thing is that our mission of Onus u'Mefateh is talking about a case where there was no Hasrof for Malkus. So for technical reasons, he's going to pay the Knas, etc. But in an ideal situation where there was Asra, then we apply the Mishnah in Makkos, which would mean Loke v'Eino Misham. The only two exceptions according to Rabbi Yochanan where Mamon is paid replacing Malkus are the cases of Chovel and Edim Zomim, which he sees as two unique cases. So let's read Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan ma'afilu tema choso nara. Even if you'll understand that the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about a case of Ones u'Mefateh where you would normally pay Knas. Why? Because she's a Nara. Her father is alive, so that would cover even the case of Mefateh. She's not a Shota. Leave out all of those Ukimtas that we had in Ula. But then you'll ask me, so how do we reconcile the contradiction between the Mishnah and Malkus that says you get Malkus in this case, and our Mishnah says that you pay Mamon, Kansha Hisrubo, Kansha Lo Hisrubo? It all boils down, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to one technical issue. And that is, was there Hasra before? Was there not a Hasra? If there was a Hasra, then Malkus is going to be meted out, and not Mamon. And our Mishnah Ksubis, which talks about paying Knas, etc., that's talking about a case of Lo Hisrubo. And there was no Malkus. Alma Kasovar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hecha Deika Mamonu Malkus, the Asrube. If there was a Hasra, then Milka Loki Mamona Lo Mishalim, which has to mean two things. Number one, that Rabbi Yochanan sees Chovel and Edim Zom as exceptions to the rule, rather than the rule itself. And number two, it means he rejects the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas. So the Gemara says, Minole Rabbi Yochanan Ha, meaning there must have been something that countered the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas. Now again, here we get into other issues about Gzeirah Shavah. Did he have the Mesorah for this Gzeirah Shavah? Did he not have the Mesorah for the Gzeirah Shavah? Why is Gemara working overtime to try to prove that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he could not accept the Gzeirah Shavah? Why not just simply say he never received the Gzeirah Shavah? Gzeirah Shavah is not something that you can come up on your own. You know, today you can do a word search through Shas and come up with, or through Tanakh, and come up with a million Gzeirah Shavahs, right? We haven't had our fingertips. And that's going to be an entire literature here that has to do with Mufna, not Mufna, but we'll get to it in Mirtz Hashem later on. So the Gemara says the following. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says in Parashas Ki Tetze, I'm going to read the whole Pasuk, it says, V'haya in bin hakos ha-rosha v'ipiloa shofet v'ikol l'fanav k'dei v'shaso b'mispar. So the Torah used the word rishaso in the singular. Mishum Risha Achas Atoma Chayvo. When the Torah spells out Malkus, the punishment that's meted out to a Rasha for violating a crime, the Torah specifically addresses itself to one Rishus, meaning one evil, one criminal act. Kidei Risha So is Risha. Okay, fine. So we can't give two punishments. Well, which one are you going to give? I mean, you're still leaving me out in the cold here. And the answer is, v'sarichle, the next pasuk itself says, arboim yakenu, teaching me that in the case of an overlap between Momon and Malkus, and you're only going to be mechayvim for one risha, meaning one punishment for one of the crimes, is our boy Miakena, we're going to give Malkus. And that's going to knock off the Chiyuv Momon. All this is assuming there was what? A Hasra. Otherwise, if there's no Hasra, there's no Malkus, and then we go back to Momon. So, in effect, the Chiyuv Momon is always lurking in the shadows, ready to come out. But the problem, the blockage, is that you have a Chiyuv Malkus because of the Hasra. And now the Torah says, our boy Miakena. So the Momon never surfaces. But if there was no Chiyuv Malkus, i.e., there was no Asra, then in a chinam he'd have to pay the Mamon. And that justifies our mission at the beginning of this parak of Ksubas, that he has to pay on it, he has to pay the Knas, etc., etc. Now the Gemara says the following: Vare Chovel b'chavera de'ika Mamon u'malkis Mamon b'shalim milka lo loki. What is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the case of Chovel b'chavero? He violates the law of Lo Yosef la'koso, and he's chayev malchus, and let's assume for argument's sake he got asra, and yet the Torah says he pays mamon. So at this point we anticipated that Rabbi Yochanan would say, well, Chovel's the exception to the rule. But that's not what he says. He said, because the Gemara offers one other possibility. And the Gemara says, "V'chi teimon." If you say, "Hani mili heichadelo aser," maybe Chovel itself fits into the universal category of Milka Loki Momona Lo Meshalim, which we derive from the pasuk Arboim Yaken K'dei Rishaso. And the only reason the Torah says you pay Momon in the case of Chovel Chavero is because it was a case of heichadelo aser, which again, as we said before, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the Chiyuv Momon lurks in the shadows, waiting to emerge. I will ask you, but if there was a chiyuv malchus, then milka loki momono lo mishalim. Einochinami. Then when the Torah says you pay tashlume chavol, that's only because there was no asra and there was no malchus. But in event that there was a hasra, then Rabbi Yochanan would say you get malchus. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting here. Now I can understand the vested interest here, the agenda of the Gemara. The Gemara really has a great smooth approach here, because instead of entering into the question of, well, maybe Chovel is the exception to the rule, maybe it's got a Chumra, it's got a Kula, leave that all out. Just simply say that Chovel fits into the general category of Rabbi Yochanan. And the issue is, was there Asra or was there not Asra? So the Gemara rejects it. Why? For Omar of Ami, Omar of Yochanan, we have a tradition to Rabbi Yochanan that he ko hakosh ein bo shava pruta loke. That if there was a hakah, and in terms of the monetary value of the hefse, the loss for that hakah, there was no shava pruta, and therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, in such a case, you get malchus. Now, so far, we don't understand why this statement should upset us. On the contrary, it seems to support what we've been saying, that in an event that there's no, that there should be Malkus, then Enochinami, we give you Malkus. No. Says the Gemara, Hechidovi, what's the case? Idolo Asri Be, if there was no Asra, my locus. So there's no doubt that there was Asra over here. Elap Shita, we have no choice but to assume the Asrube, that there was Asra for Malkus. Now, in this case, Rabbi Yochanan would say, according to this Havmin that we just addressed, that there is no Momon. Forget it, there's no Momon. I don't care how much of a loss the Nechbal suffered, there's no Momon, because once there was Asra, Rabbi Yochanan is going to apply the principle of Loke v'eino Meshalim. And the whole enterprise of paying money in the Torah, that's a case where there was no Asra. So that can't be, because Pshita, because Gemara says time of the Lespe Pruta, the only reason why Rabbi Yochanan waves the Chiyuv Mamon and instead he plugs in a Chiyuv Malkus is only because it was Hakosh Haim B'Shava Pruta, which means there was no Chiyuv Mamon to begin with, because less than Shava Pruta doesn't register on the Richter scale as Tashlumei Mamon, implying that Ha'ispe Shava Pruta, had we not had this technical barrier and there would be a Chiyuv Mamon, then Rabbi Yochanan would agree that Mamon Mishalim Milka Lo Laki. So we're going to have to find some justification for Chovel, that Chovel is going to be the exception to the rule, and even in the case where there's Asra, if there's Mamon, he pays Mamon, and he's exempt from the Malkus, even if there was Asra for Malkus. And now we don't understand why. Okay, I can justify that Chovel B'Chavero could not be a paradigm for all cases to teach me that you pay and you don't get malchus, because Rabbi Yochanan rejects that. You know, you cannot use Chovel as your paradigm. Even Ula agreed that you can't use Chovel as your paradigm. But why not use Chovel and subsume it under the universal rules? Meaning, whenever the Torah says you pay Mamon, maybe it's talking about a case where there was no malchus. But if there was Malkus, then you would not pay Mamon. And yet we would just medayik from Rabbi Yochanan that in the case of Chovel, even when there's Mamon, the din is that, I'm sorry, even when there's Malkus, the din is that you pay Mamon and you don't get Malkus. Why not? Why not just interpret the parsha of Mamon in the case of Chovel as a case where there was no Hasra? That would be Rabbi Yochanan's, you know, consistent view. And the Gemara answers that we have a special pasuk by Chovel to teach me that the Torah substituted Mamon for Malkus. Kina Om Ravin La. And later on the Gemara is going to go into great detail about Ravin La. Now the Gemara is only quoting it in passing, so to speak. Beferish Ripsa Torah Edim Zomim L'Tashlumim. Hachanami Beferish Ripsa Torah Chovel B'Chaver L'Tashlumim. So once again, as we've mentioned time and time, there are two exceptions to the rule from Rabbi Yochanan's perspective. Again, the rule according to Rabbi Yochanan is you get Malkus and you don't pay Mamon. The two exceptions are Chovel B'Chavero and Einim Zomim. And we're going to have to look into the parasha and see how to derive this. That's the insight of Rav Ilah. He's going to give us in both cases, first and foremost in the case of Edim Zomim, and secondly in the case of Chovel B'Chavero, that the Torah went out of its way to tell you that you pay and you don't get Malkus. V'heicha idma de Rav Ilah, and the Gemara says, in what context did Rav Ilah make this statement? Aha, on the Mishnah Malkus. The Mishnah Malkus at the beginning of the Masechta, I think it's on Dav Dalet. The Mishnah says that if two witnesses testify, Nidamar Ishploni Shechayev Lechaver Masayim Zuz Venimtsu Zomimin Lokin Umishalmin. This is the Shita Rabbi Meir, that we give you a double punishment. First of all, we have to punish you Kasha Zomam, and you have to pay Masayim Zuz, because you wanted the Nidon to lose Masayim Zuz. But not only that, you get Malkus because you violated the Lava Losan of Reached Shoker. And here's where Rabbi Meir formulates a very famous principle. It's his own unique opinion. Shelo Hashem HaMavion Lidei Malkus Mavion Lidei Tashlum. That we happen to have here an overlap of Malkus and Mama. The Shem HaMavion Lidei Malkus, that's Losan of Reached Shoker. He violated a Lava. Then we have a Shem that brings him to Tashlumin, and that's Kasha Zomam. So again, this Shita, Divrei Rabbi Meir, is unique because if not for Rabbi Meir, we would say the following, that the only time you get Malkus, Vedim Zomamim, would only be a situation where we cannot fulfill the law, the rule of Yassisim Lo Kasha Zomam. For example, at the Mishnah at the beginning of Malkus has a case called Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And the Gemara is going to derive, that's Ula is going to derive from a remez in the Torah, that in such a case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we give the aid to Malkus. But that's a whole new parsha of Malkus for violating Lo Sana Be'achid Shaka. Rabbi Meir is going a step further. Rabbi Meir is saying that even in the case where we can fulfill and implement the Asis and Lokash Zom Lasas Liachim, nevertheless, we also have to give Malkus for Lo Sana. We would have thought that when the Torah gave us Kashazoma, Vasisalo Kashazoma, the Torah is replacing Malkus. And Rabbi Meir says, no, you have the Malkus of Losada. Now, it could be that that Rabbi Meir is based on the fact that you get Malkus for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. Again, keep in mind that testimony is called the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. And if not for Rabbi Meir, we would say that there is no Malkus for Losada. But the alternative approach here would be to say that the Torah gave us Kashazoma, and the Kashazoma tells me that he has to pay just like he wanted to be mechayev the nidon to pay. Again, this is not a case where the eidim accused the nidon of some sort of criminal crime where he's chayev malchus. They just testified that he owes him 200 zuz. And the Torah says, kasher zoma. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, okay, kasher zoma, but there's still a parsha of losana, and therefore he gets malchus like any other lav. Again, assuming you get malchus on the lav shein bo mais. According to Chachamim, the Torah is telling us Kasha Zoma, and we cannot in any way, shape, or form ignore the Kasha Zoma, because it's in this exact case that the Torah says Kasha Zoma. You wanted to force him to pay 200 zuz, you pay him 200 zuz. And now we have a principle called Kedei Rishasa. So even though you might come up with the possibility that he should get Malkus at the same time, because Lo Hashem, and you have the shame of Lo Sana Be'achid Shaker, and even if I grant you that you get Malkus for Lav Shem Bo Maisa, but here the Torah says, V'asisim Lo Kasha Zomim, we have a principle called Kedei Rishasa. When we combine the two together, we derive a conclusion that Eino Loke doesn't get Malkus. So the Gemara asks Venema, why don't you say just the opposite, call a loke eino mishalim? In other words, you somehow in this tug of war between losana, which would generate malchus, and v'asisim lokash zomam, which generates a chiyuv mamon, for some reason you tip the scale and you favor kasha zoma. Why not go the other way around? Why not say let's favor the universal rule that any violation of a lav, like losana, generates malchus? And now we're going to apply your principle, Rabbi Yochanan, that call haloka eino mishalim. Amar Rabbi Ilah, b'feirish ripsa Torah edim zom l'tashlum. And here's where we have Rabbi Ilah's chidush. Heichon ripsa Torah. Where did the Torah say that even though you should be chayv malchus, nevertheless you pay money? Michteksiv, yasisim lo kasher zomam lasos liyachiv. The Torah says that you have to fulfill this principle of asisim lo. And then in the very next pasuk it says, v'lo sachos einecha. Nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein, yod b'yod, regel b'regel. So Rabbi Loi asked the question, lovely, why did the Torah have to go through this whole long list over here? And right now he's focusing on yod b'yod. Obviously he's going to have to darsh in every single post, every single word in the post, but right now yod b'yod. Dovra nite b'yod b'yod, am I niu mama? And basically what Rabbi Loi is saying is, if you could have said, v'asisim lo kasha zomam, applies in many different scenarios in many different ways, but I can still impose the principle of kol ha lokei to mishalim, meaning that in a case where there's both malchus and mamon, then you get malchus and you don't get mamon, because after all that is the cornerstone of Rabbi Yochanan. So how do I know the vasisim lo kasha zomam tells me that in this very case, that you pay Masayim Zuz? And the answer is because the Torah added Yad B'Yad. And what does Yad B'Yad mean? Mom. Doranite mi Yad L'Yad. Chovel Chaver Nami. Now Rabbi Loi already jumped one step further. He said, just like we've derived from the pasuk Yad B'Yad that Eidim Zom is the exception to the rule, the Mammon is paid and the Malkus is alleviated, so too, in the case of Chovel Mechavero, we have an extra few words that are going to teach us that he pays Mammon and he doesn't get Malkus. Michtik Siv. The Torah says, this is in the at the end of Parshas Emor, it says, Kasher Oso Kein Yasa Lo. In the parsha of Chovel Bechavero, the Torah says, "Kasher Oso Kenye Oso Lo." But let's read the whole pasuk. It says, Shever tachas tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kasher yite mum bi adam, ken yinosein bo. In other words, there are two psukim. The first pasuk, kasher osu ken yoselo, which refers to chovil, that's pasuk yutes. And then in pasuk chaf, it seems totally superfluous. The Torah says ken yinosein bo. I mean, we just finished saying kasher osu ken yoselo. So what? Why did the Torah feel compelled to add these words ken yinosein bo? And the answer is dover. The emphasis on the word yinase, the Torah went out of its way to say that even if there would have been a hasra for Malkus for violating the law of Lotosiv, nevertheless, the Torah is saying that it's going to be a dor sheish bo nesina, that his punishment is going to be paying mama. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, my time alomer ku'ula. What inhibited from Yochanan from accepting the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas? And we explained before that according to Ula, Tachas Tachas is Mufne, which means it was unnecessary. And we'll see later on that Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that no, the Tachas Tachas is necessary. He's going to derive two different halachas from Tachas Tachas. But the Gemara is not ready for that now. The Gemara wants to try its hand at a different defense, a different explanation for Rabbi Yochanan. In Cain, Bitalta Ervas Achoscha Lo Segala. You've taken a lav in the Torah, and now, according to you, Ula, you've just undermined that lav from Malkus. There is no Malkus. Why? Because, according to you, Ula, based on the Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas, we're going to say that he pays the Knas and Bosh Zabagam, and therefore it's going to replace Malkus. Now, how can you have a situation where you violate a lav and you get Malkus? I'm sorry, you violate a lav and you don't get Malkus. You've completely taken this lav out of the parasha of Malkus. Now, Rabos, I don't understand this Gemara, so don't ask me any questions, because the Gemara is a pellet plum. How the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yochanan holds this is a case of Bitalta Erevas Achoscha from Malkus, it's not true. We're only talking about a case, and that's what Ula is addressing, where she was a Nara, and what other conditions? And she was a Psula, right? And in the case of Mefuta, she had a father. I mean, all those conditions are very restricted. What percentage of the cases where he violates the law of Ervas Achos Lo Segal fit into that category? And therefore, in every other case, the halacha is going to be that he gets Malkus. So I'm not sure what it means in Bitalta Ervas Achos Lo Segal. I don't know what that means. Again, what I'm telling you now is going to be the ultimate conclusion of the Gemara. But I just don't understand what the Hava Amina was. The Gemara asks the following question on this Hava Amina, that Rabbi Yochanan is based on the fact of Bitalta. We'll call it Bitalta. Now we turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And what does it say here on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph? The Gemara asks a question, Rabbi Yochanan. You agree, Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Chovil B'Chavero, that you pay Mammon and you don't get Malkus. And that we derive from Kasher, also in Kain Yinosein Bo, the Torah Shal Nesina, in Kain Bitalto Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, Mi Malkus. I added the word Mi Malkus, meaning you yourself now agree that there's a law in the Torah that doesn't lend itself to Malkus. So it's no tragedy to say that there's a law in the Torah that doesn't generate Malkus. And therefore, in the case of Ervas Achos Lo Segala, that also fits into that category. Now the Gemara barrages Rabbi Yochanan with another kasha, Edim Zomim Nami, in Kei Bitalta V'hoyim Bin Hakos HaRosha, that you derive from this pasuk that you should get Malkus, but yet you yourself agree, based on the drasha of Ravi law, that the fair strips of Torah zomim lim mamon in the case of kasha zoma. So why not apply the principle of bitalta? Ella, the answer is that this is not bitalta. Why? Because einim zomim efshalukayim ben grushim and chalutza. If you're asking me, when does the violation of losana generate malchus? That's in the case where there is no possibility of implementing kasher zomim, namely the case of ben grushim and chalutza. And then in chinami, in these two cases, you're going to get malchus and will fulfill the requirement of malchus. Same thing in Chovav B'chaver Nami, Ika L'kirishi Kikikosh Eba Shava Pruta. We said that if the Hakah is Eba Shava Pruta, then El Chinami you get Malkus. So let's apply the same logic to Achoso Nami, Ika L'kirishi B'Achoso Bogeret. Well, the Gemara could have said Achoso B'ula, whatever the Gemara could have said, but there are many situations in which he violates the law of Achoso Lo Segala, and there is no Knas, there is no Mamon, and hence there will be Malkus. So we're back to our original question now. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan accept the Gzeres Shavuv Ula? Amalecha, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, Hai tachas esher ina mi boile lich rabaye. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the word tachas is not a superfluous word. It's not mufna for Gzeres Shavuv because I need it for abaye. And we'll soon see that Ula doesn't need it for Abai because he has the same conclusion based on Rav. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, we accept the drush of Abai, the Omer Abaye. Now let's just introduce the Havamin of Abai. This is going to be on Daf Mem. The Havamin was that if the Torah says that Onus Mafati you pay Knas, maybe that Knas is an all-inclusive payment, and it swallows up any other payments like Bosha Supagam. So Abai says, Omar Kro, the Torah says, Tachas Asher Ina, and those three words are superfluous. The Torah just could have said that the Ma'anes pays Chamishim Kesef, he pays the Knas. The Torah didn't have to give us a whole psychological explanation as to why he pays the Knas, and in Tachas Asher Ina. So, hi, Tachas Sher'ina. What is this Tachas Sher'ina telling me? It's a mute. A mute meaning it's limiting the payment of the Knas of Chamishim Kesef to the Tachas Sher'ina situation. Michlal Deika Bosh Supagam. Meaning, although you pay the Knas as quid per quo because of the Inui, the Torah is telling you that there are other payments, that this Knas is an additional payment. She lost X, Y, and Z. So for the Inu, you pay the Knas. But for X and Y, you pay Bosh Subgam. You pay like any Chovil Bechaviru. The Ula, but Ula apparently doesn't need Tachas for Abai's Drasha. Hence it was free for the Gzer Shava. His Nafgale, he derives it, Mida Rava. The Omar Rava, Omar Krov, and Osana Isha Shochevi Mol, Avia Narach, Hamishim Kasev. How do we know that the knas of 50 kasev is in addition to Bosha Supagam? It's not all inclusive. And the answer is because the two extra words here. It says Ashokhev Ima. I mean, the Torah itself is talking about an onus situation. Why do you have to add the words Ashokhev Ima? Who else is going to pay the money? You have to define him and describe him as Ashokhev Ima. And the answer is that the Torah wants to tell you once again that the payment of the Knas is limited as a quid pro quo because of Shokhev Ima, which is called Anas Shchiva. And that's why you pay Chamishim. Nechlal de'ika Bosha Supagam. And the implication is that there are other payments in addition to the Chamishim Kesef. How are you?
Well, good on the
okay. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going back to something that we discussed earlier, and that is Edim Zomimim. According to the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, they pay the 200 zuz and they don't get malchus. And we've said before, because Beferish Rips the Torah Edim Zomim L'Tashlumim, and that was based on the Pasuk of Yad Liyad. Yad Liyad. So now the Gemara is offering an alternative. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Edim Zomim Mona Mishal Milkal Olami Mishum Delabre Asron. That there's a technical, mechanical reason why Edim Zomim do not get Malkus. And that is because there's no Asra. In the absence of Asra, we cannot give Malkus. We can only fulfill the punishment of Asisim Lo Kasha Zoma, but we cannot fulfill the universal Chiv Malkus for violating the law. So he violates the law of Losana Brache Shoker, but there was no Asra. Now the Gemara needs some sort of an explanation for this statement of Rabbi Eliezer. How do you know there's no Asra? Omarova Teda Nisri Buhu Emas. For technical reasons, it's impossible to give Hasra to Edim Zomimim. And basically the thesis of Rava is that if we give Hasra to Edim Zomimim, you're going to scare the living daylights out of them. You know, basically what we're telling them, if they testify in a murder case or a capital case, they're going to get killed if they. So why would they give testimony? Better stay home. Now, we could perhaps solve that problem by giving them Hasra early enough so that by the time they get to the Eidus stage, when they walk into Beis Din, maybe it's an hour before they actually sit down and give their Eidus, they'll forget the Asra an hour later, so we'll fulfill the technical requirement of Asra. Nisri Bei Meikara, let's give them Asra when they first show up in Beis Din, and then they're going to testify an hour later. By then they'll forget their testimony, so the Gemara says, they forget the Asra. Is Amrei, we have a right, they have a right to claim these Eidim, if you want to punish them. Ishtalion, I forgot, it was so long, I forgot the Asra. So that's not a meaningful Asra. Asra can only be operative if they didn't forget the Asra. Nisivu b'shas ma'isa, parashay v'lo mesadeh. If you're going to give them Asra at the moment they're about to testify, they'll be poreish, they won't give the Eidus. I might as well stay home and mind my own business. Nisivu b'asov, why not give them Asra after they complete their Eidus? This is based on a principle called Toch Kedei Dibur, which is a universal principle. And now we can attach the Asra Toch Kedei Dibur to the Haggadah's Eidus. My Dahava Hava. The answer is that once they gave their Eidus, then we have a principle called Kevin Shigin Shumen Echosur Magid, and therefore the Asra is meaningless. Asra means we want you to be Porish. We want to scare you and make you aware of the repercussions. But here, what kind of asra is it if the deed was already done? And here there's a tremendous amount of literature. I mean, in my page of the Masifta, there's more in the footnotes here than there is in the text, because basically, Kevon Shehigid Shuv Ein Chozer Magid doesn't apply until after the asra is complete, and then we start ticking off the clock of Kevon Shehigid. But if the Eidim would rescind their Eidus right after the Hasra, without waiting till Kedei Dibur, then that would be a valid Chazara, because it's no longer Kevin Shehigin until after the Hasra was received, etc. So this Gemara has to really be interpreted. And if you're going to tell me that they can be Chozer after the Hasra, if the Hasra was post-Haggadah, then once again, aren't they going to get so scared, so afraid of the repercussions? They're going to rescind their Eidus. So we're back to Parshi Velo Masadeh. Maskifle Abay V'Nisru B'Toch Kedei Dibur. Oh, now keep in mind that one witness testifies, and then immediately following the second witness testifies. Now during the course of the testimony of the second witness, it's still considered Toch Kedei Dibur of the first testimony, the first witness. Not on the clock, but halachically. And therefore they can still be Chozer by him as long as the Eidus is still continuing. So here, says Abai, is an option to give him Asra and solve all your problems. Why? It's going to be Toch Kedei Dibur, and they can still be Chozer by him, may I do some. The Asra is therefore meaningful. And we're not going to scare the living daylights out of them because they've already given their Eidus. Again, there's a deep psychological principle that the Gemara is operating with, that there's a difference between scaring a person before he gives the Eidus, that he's going to fly the coop, as opposed to once he already gave the Eidus, and you're scaring him because you're telling him you better be Chozer, but when he's an Isha Emes and he's not going to be Chozer. So Abaye now is going to have to come up with another answer to the question why there's no Asra in Edom Zomim. Maskif la Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika v'nisri b'hu me ikara unerames b'hu remuze. So this is another kash on Rava. Rava's operating here with the technicality, saying, no, technically we can't give him Asra because he's gonna fly the coop, he won't even give his Avis. So Abaye says, well, we can give him Asra after he gave his Avis, while the second Avis is testifying. And Rav Acha is going to ask another question. Let's give him Asra when he first walks into Bezdin, and an hour later when he's ready to give his Asra, we'll nirmas bu remuze. We'll give him a remez, some sort of a, you know, flash something in front of his eyes, and he'll remind himself of the original Asra, which means that the Asra will be valid. He won't be able to claim that he forgot it because we'll give him a remez. But psychologically, he's not overwhelmed by the you know, oh, we're going to take you out to the Beis Haskilah kind of line. So that now we're stuck here with Rava, because Rava says that Edom Zomim doesn't get Asra because there's no possibility of giving Asra. But both Abaye and Rav Acha claim that that there is a possibility of giving him Asra. So Hodor Amar Abaye, now Abaye comes back and he says, you know what? I'll tell you why there's no possibility of giving him Asra. It's not a mechanical, technical reason. But Lav Milsa he di Amri, the whole concept of giving Asra to Edom Zomim is absolutely antithetical to the very essence, the very fabric of Edom Zomim. Why? Because Esau can die to Edom Zomim to become Asra. If you're going to require Asra on Edom Zomim, it's going to undermine the whole principle of Kasha Zoma. Ki lo masrinim bu lo katlinin lahu. If in the absence of Asra, we can't kill the Edom Zomim. Could there be such a thing? The Inu boycott of Lo Asra. These Edom tried to put the Nidon to death, and the Nidon didn't get any Asra. The whole story was a fabrication. The Inu boy Asra. And now we're going to say that the Edom themselves will not suffer the punishment that they want to mete out to the Nidon because they didn't get Asra. But Inon, the Torah says, V'asisim lo kashazom lasos liyachiv v'leka. Where's the fantasy? In other words, the fantasy according to the Torah law that we boomerang back onto the Edom a punishment which they wanted to mete out to the Nidon. So now you're telling me, well, they wanted to mete out to the Nidon a punishment even in the absence of Asra, but we're not going to punish the Edom unless they had Asra. That's not fair. Is maskif le'rav sama b'reid rav yirmiya elamei ata. If Abaye, you're correct, that the reason why we don't mete out, the reason why we don't require Asra is because they wanted to mete out a punishment against the Nidon without Asra, Elameata, according to you, that you want to say that the reason why we don't give Asra is based on Kasha Zoma, then when Grusha Mechalutza, the Lomi Kasha Zoma, come Israeli by Asra, the Gemara thinks now that the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza doesn't fall under Kasha Zoma. Of course, the Gemara at the beginning of Makkos derives from Sukkah that we cannot make the Edom Zoma into a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, even if they're Kohanim, we can't disqualify them as Chalolim. Lo v'lo Lazaro, etc. That was the first Gemara they taught me in Kerbi Avna. Is Liboy Asra. So now that we're not bound by or subsumed under Kasha Zomam, then according to you, Abaye, now we have to require Asra. And we know that that's not so. The Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, like any case of Edom Zomim, does not require Asra. Omar Kra. So that's why the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yelachem. The Torah went out of its way to add these words to teach us that Mishpat Hashava L'Kulchem, that the Torah says that the same uniform principle and punishment will apply straight across the board. So in most cases of Edom Zomim, you don't need a Hasra. In this rare case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, where you logically would have said you do need a Hasra, we're going to say it's equal to, and it doesn't deviate from all the other cases of Edom Zomim, and therefore you don't need a Hasra. Now, I just want to say a few words of introducing the next piece of Gemara. We had a sugya back on Daf Lamed Beis that Chovil B'Chaver Peis, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because of the principle of Rabbi Loi, Beferish Ritz the Torah, Chovel B'Chaver L'Tashlumin. And now the Gemara brings another opinion in this regard, and this in this context, and that's going to be the opinion of Rav Shisha Berei D'Rav Idi. And he holds Chovel B'Chaver Nami Mamona Meshalim U'Milkel Olochi Mihocha. He derives it from the parsha of Kim Levi D'Ravamine. So we're going to have to stop here. And let's make a note of it. So Mirtz Hashem will continue on Sunday.
Rav Shisha.
Okay. So we'll pick this up on Sunday and Monday. And again, I don't say that we'll necessarily finish the parak. Then we can negotiate what we're going to do. What we're going to do after that. Okay, gentlemen?
Okay.
So I'm going to take leave of you, and it's been great. And I see the earlier I start, the more people show up for the shiur.